Okay, this is Mongo Slade, episode 13 podcast featuring your host, me, Mongo Slade, and you. You are the audience. You are you. You're watching TV. You probably have some shitty analog TV because you can't afford to go buy a digital TV yet, so you had to buy one of those boxes, or you're listening to me. So it's kind of fucked up how they do that too, man. And they have the nerve to put that on the TV screen, like beep beep, like it's a fucking weather report or some shit, like beep beep. This, your analog will no longer be affected after, I don't even know what the fuck that shit even means. I guess you gotta buy a box, and I heard the box is like, I don't know, a few $100, but that's not cool. This is how this country's doing. It's like they're just taken from you. It makes you think, when will this stop? You know, high gas, everything is just bad. Stocks are bad, no jobs hardly. There's jobs, but you know, people refuse to work some of these jobs. They don't pay a lot, but pay wages are going down. Kids getting killed in war. Then on top of that, they want to fuck with your TV shit. You can't even fucking watch TV without a hassle. So that's why you need to be getting on these podcasts, listening to me. I'm telling you, get on the internet. Check out some of this internet TV. There's a lot of good shows out there. And as a matter of fact, on one of my upcoming podcasts, I'm going to profile some internet TV stuff I like to watch, you know. But I'm telling you, this is the new medium. So get with it. So I am Mongo Slade. This is my podcast. I feel good today, man. I've been eating less meat, eating more fruit, vegetables, even though there's a salmonella, however you say it, salmonella, whatever, outbreak. But, you know, I'm trying to eat a little bit more healthy. I got a little bit more energy. I'm trying to grow some hair here. I can grow hair pretty good, but I've been thinking about twisting my hair up, or maybe even, if I'm bold enough to grow some dreads. Only problem I'm having right now is that my hairline is slightly receding. So I've been taking biotin and, you know, B complex pills. I mean, it's not real far back, but it's far back enough where it makes me weary about maybe growing my hair out. And on top of that, having twists, you know, I don't want to walk around one of those guys who, you know, who's all kind of older with his hairline receding with some hair like an afro or some ridiculous haircut, like some braids, and the braids start down there in the back of his head. You know, that's not cool. And it seems like that would hurt too. I don't know. So that's not cool. So once I grow it out to a certain length, I'm going to take a realistic assessment of it and determine whether I'm going to keep going or not. I'm going to also go see a loctician and see what's up. See if I got the kind of hair that a dread, cause my hair is slightly kind of weird, you know. Not, you know, I don't know. It's just weird. That's just gray too. So I don't know. I might just be walking around looking like a fool. But we'll see, all right? So let's get back to the show. Like I said, I'm Mongo Slade. Let's get back to the show. And speaking of dreads, you know, it's kind of funny now how, you know, being Afrocentric right now, it's not the thing, but at least black folks are more or less touching back to our roots, you know? Because it seems like back when I was a kid, it's like being compared to an African in some sort of way was an insult. Like, you know, African booty scratcher, or if you was a real dark brother, you know, real black dude, you know, dudes would be like, man, you black like an African dude. Or if you had the God gifted talent to be able to run fast or jump high, cats would be coming at you like, yeah, that dude, you fast like you from Africa or something, you know. And that's kind of mean, but you know, I thought about that, and it's kind of weird because, like, right now Africans aren't known for really being fast, you know. They're known for long distance running, but not for really being fast. It seems like the brothers that are fast are the brothers who are descendants of slaves. So maybe West Africans or certain tribes that were enslaved as slaves were fast, but we still got caught by the slave catchers, you know. And I guess I was kind of thinking that being fast is not the key to survival in Africa. I would think that just because of us, our problem was we were probably fast. Our relatives on the west coast of Africa by the water was probably fast. But our problem was we didn't have the long distance down. Yeah, we probably seen the slave catcher. Like, uh-oh, there go Whitey right over there. There you right there. I'm out, bruh. Just got to running. But, you know, we probably gave up after about a quarter mile. And, you know, the brothers that's still over there, Africans are still over there, they just kept running, you know. Like them Kenyan cats or whatever. They just keep running. They run for 20 miles. So that was our problem. We couldn't run far enough. You know, we didn't have a long distance gang yet. And that exists to this day. Like, you watch these cop shows or especially the realistic ones where you got these fat white cops and you got these young brothers, and you know they weigh about 150 pounds. In all reality, these cats will never get caught by no fat white cop or black cop, you know, who ain't used to running or being in the streets like that. But they always catch them brothers. Brothers be giving out after about a quarter mile. Some brothers, they go a little longer than a quarter mile, but after that quarter mile, that's it. They caught, you know. So that was probably our deal over in Africa, because I can only imagine, like, if you're an African cat, you kind of walking through the jungle and whatever. You know, that's another thing, too, that's kind of fucked up. It's like, I didn't even realize till I got older that Africa was not all jungle. I thought, like, during the 80s when I was growing up, like, or even the 70s as a kid, that Africa was still all jungles and it didn't have cities and societies and whatever, you know, not let alone knowing that Africa was the birthplace of civilization and society and math and science and all that sort of thing. But, you know, we didn't learn all that in school. We learned that we were descendants of slaves, you know. So, in a way, I can't be entirely responsible for my negative view or my naive view of Africa. But damn, I'm getting way off on a tangent now. Nowhere near what I want to talk about. But you're walking, you know, through the jungle in Africa. It's a long time ago and shit. You know, you kicking it. All of a sudden, a snake just dropped right in front of you, right out of a tree. You know, not no little snake, big ass, like 12 footer, you know, snake, about a foot in diameter thick. You like, shit, your ass got to running. You know, you just can't run. You know, you can get away from a snake. You can get away from the snake. You can run your ass off to be running. But the problem over there in survival is, if you running, you know, you might see a lion or a hippopotamus or some shit, or a monkey or a gorilla or some shit. And you're going to look like, damn, what that nigga running for? I'm going to chase that nigga. So you got to keep running. So you getting chased by a snake. Snake ain't going to catch you, though. But you getting chased by a gorilla. You know, you just running now. Then you might run and be running some more. The next thing you know, you might run out of the territory of the gorilla and run up on some other dangerous animal like a hippo or a rhinoceros or an elephant. They were like, damn, what that nigga running for? We chase that nigga. So you got to keep running. That's why them dudes can run so far. So we caught the bad end of the stick. But damn, what the hell was I going to talk about? Okay, I remember. You know, I was going to talk about something else today. I was going to talk about the buying of America by foreign companies, in particular Budweiser. I used to drink Budweiser. That used to be my favorite beer. It still is. I just don't drink no more. And I was going to profile like a whole bunch of companies that are coming in and buying our companies. And there was even an article on MSN about that. I guess because our companies cost less, our dollars worth less. So these foreign companies, particularly European companies, can come in and buy our companies for less. But I'll talk about that another day. Well, I'm going to talk about this Jesse Jackson thing with Obama. I guess some disparaging remarks about Obama and him talking down to an audience at a church congregation. I guess he was giving a speech. You know, he's campaigning. He's giving speeches and whatnot on Father's Day. And I guess Jesse made some comments in regards to him talking down to the audience and whatnot. And on top of that, making a comment about cutting his neck or something like that. Let me check that real quick. Okay, I just listened to it. He said, talking down the black people. He was whispering, too. That's even funnier. When you ever heard Jesse Jackson whisper, I'm Jesse Jackson. It's Jesse Jackson. There's more young men in jail that go to... No, there's more young men. There's more black young men in jail that go to jail. He was whispering. That's the clearest Jesse Jackson ever talked in his whole life. His diction was perfect. He should whisper more often. Yeah, I guess he said he's going to cut his nuts off, you know, talking down to black people. I remember when Jesse Jackson was on Saturday Night Live a long time ago. He did a rap segment with Jim Belushi. That shit was funny as hell. Rapping Jimmy B. And he had Jesse on there. They started rapping together. Man, please, if you could find that YouTube, that shit is a classic. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm not even going to comment on whether Obama was talking down to black folks. I read some stuff about his speech. I haven't saw the speech. I saw or read part of it. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't know. You know, maybe Jesse feels a bit bitter because he knows that his time is coming to an end and things are being accomplished without him and his regime, his people. He's been around for a long time, you know, and sometimes you got to hang it up. He's done a lot of good for black folks. Jesse Jackson has also done some things that are kind of questionable. He definitely has a bad reputation. There's been some very, very critical books written about him. It's one book in particular, man. This book's about 400 pages long. It's really critical of him. And I don't know if it's true or not. you know, his methods are kind of antiquated. You know, he was with, you know, King. He was in that era. Maybe it's the time for change. You know, that's Barack's slogan, time for a change. But maybe it is. Maybe, you know, you can't do your thing forever. Even Spike Lee doesn't even make those type of movies anymore. That's hitting you in the face with what's wrong with America. You know, he's just doing movies, you know. And Jesse ran for president twice, you know, back in the early 80s. I think in 84 and 88. I voted for him in 88 when I was in college. They forced us to at Florida A&M. I remember when he, I think he had to step down from the Democratic nomination. I think that's 84, and he gave the speech and all that, and my mom forced me to watch it. She said it was history, and it was, you know, because to be honest, after he ran in 88, I don't think that anybody else thought that a black person would ever actually become the Democratic nomination. So you got to really think that we're living in history right now. So pretty much, even though Jesse paved the way for other black folks and to have high political aspirations, you know, it's just like with the way things are now and the way the youth doesn't really connect with the past as recent as 20 years ago, you know, Barack is essentially erasing Jesse from the books, because that was a highlight of Jesse's career, was running for president, giving that speech. You know, that was big, you know. So Barack just pretty much erased that. And for some reason, kids nowadays, they don't look to Jesse Jackson like we did. You know, he's more like of a bitter old man now, kind of almost like a joke. You know, I would never call him a joke, because I was around during the times when he actually did a lot of good things, and he's probably still doing good things, but he's definitely suffered from some negative blows to his image over the years, especially the last, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. So I can kind of understand where old Jesse's coming from. You know, a lot of this stuff might just not sit well with him. And, you know, Barack busting on the scene, you know, he's a brother, you know, he doesn't look like Jesse. You know what I mean? You know where I'm coming from here. He don't look like Jesse. You know, Barack made it. You know, Barack's one of them. He's one of them exotic brothers, you know. He's his father from, you know, Kenya or something like that. His mom is white. I think he was raised in Hawaii or something like that. Ended up in Illinois, you know. He's exotic, you know. He ain't like me and Jesse, you know. Niggas like me and Jesse ain't going to become the Democratic nomination. Both look at Barack, his rhetoric, you know, his image, his whole package is what people look at and say, I can dig that brother right there. It's not, you know, he's like us, but he's not like us. You know, he has the pedigree that a lot of us don't have, you know. You know, he's part of that that bloodline too, man. A lot of people don't know this, but his mom is part of that bloodline. She's related to Dick Cheney. So, you know, get your, you know, wipe off your Dave Icke books, if that's how you pronounce his last name, and go down the borders and read up on the Illuminati, and you'll understand where I'm coming from with that. So a lot of stuff going out there that y'all fools don't know about, but I do, okay? Because I'm Mongo Slade, I'm smarter than you, and what I'm here to do is entertain, educate, and eradicate foolishness, all right? So, yeah, you know, it's kind of sad in a way, because now it's like a big deal on the internet. I'm reading about this story on The Root, which is actually it's a pretty cool website. I need to get down with those brothers and see what they're up to, see if they'll let me come on there and do some things, you know. But oh yeah, I forgot to mention too, I'm definitely open to advertisers. I'm open to sponsors. You can email me at junietuff, JOONYTUFF at gmail.com. Email junietuff at gmail.com. I'm Jesse Jackson. I want to cut off his nuts, but I can't, because it will be too much. And Obama, he ran for president 20 years after I did, but I guess it's meant. I'm Jesse Jackson. I'm the first person to run the civil rights and make it. I can't even think of no more rhymes. That dude used to be rhyming. I remember he was on TV on CNN. He was like, there is more young black men that go to jail that are in jail. Run, Jesse, run! Run, Jesse, run! Think of Jesse Jackson in this bitch. Shit, it ain't never going away. Why? See, because I'm Jesse Jackson. I'm all about some action. I say a little, I'm a little bit much, but I want to cut off his nuts, talking down on black people. It's not really cool. It's Migo. What else would Jesse used to say? I am down, as they say, but I'm not in Jaime Town. Shit. Let me get back to my point. But so, like I was saying, it's a changing of the guard. It's a changing of the rhetoric. You know, it's Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and a couple other fellas. They definitely did promote the victim boycott protest agenda. And I think that in this day and age right now, people don't give a fuck about that shit no more. People don't give a fuck about our plight, us being slaves. That shit is over. Nobody gives a fuck no more. You know, you get on the internet and you read comments, especially like on the sports and something, if it involves a black athlete and it's a story and you can read like the comments down. I mean, there's literally hundreds upon hundreds of just negative racist, small-minded people in their comments and what black people should do. We don't care. We didn't enslave you. You weren't a slave. You know, get with it. You know, buckle up your bootstraps. Do this, do that. Even though white folks got all kind of free things after the Civil War, which I should touch on in one of my podcasts too. You know, the Homestead Act and all that other stuff, you know. But they'll come at us with the, you know, buckle up, do this, do that. But at the same time, though, there is some truth that we need to move past the victim protest stage. And that's what Barack is doing. He's getting into the self-responsibility, you know, of ourselves, our people. Yeah, Barack is getting into the self-responsibility to correct decision-making. You know, we got to be responsible for what we do, our lives, our actions. You know, let's cut down on the blame game. And that's the direction I think that this country is taking and that our struggle is taking. You know, we still need to represent our behalf because racism still exists. I know for a fact that racism definitely exists. But at the same time, you know, we're as a whole, as a race, not just me, but not just you or you. I'm not saying it's you, but I think that what's going on is that black folks are moving past that of victimhood into standing up and being responsible, taking a self-assessment of our actions and our decisions and moving forward. And I think it's time for that. And like I say, and that's the message that Barack is delivering right now. And he did it on Father's Day. He dissed the fathers and, you know, the brothers who's not there every day. Maybe he did pound it to white folks. I don't know. You know, he's campaigning. What are you going to do? You got to do what he got to do. All right? Shit. You ain't do it. I ain't do it. Well, somebody got to do it. Maybe he's speaking the truth. Who knows? All right? Damn, I went on for 20 minutes. This is Mongo Slade Podcast. This is episode number 13, I think. But my numbers are off because I'm not sure how I'm going to post them. I am the host of craniumcrap.blogspot.com. That's where you can find me. You can email me at junytuff@gmail.com. JoneyTuff@gmail.com. Okay, and I am out at 19 minutes and 56, 57, 58, 59, 20 minutes.